Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirem Nashtaprayesha Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevayam Bhagavati Uttama Shlokem Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Nama. So we are reading from Canto 11, Chapter 24, entitled The Philosophy of Sankhya. The verse number is 16, actually. Yeah. Anurbhuhata kusha sthulo yoyo bhava prasidhyati sarvopyabhayasanyukta prakrutya purushena cha anurbhruhat krusha sthulo yoyo bhava prasidhyati sarvopyabhayasanyukta prakrutya purushena cha Anurbhruhata kusha sthulo yoyo bhava prasidhyati sarvopyabhyasayukta prakrutya purushena cha. Sayukta Prakrutya Purushena cha. Prakrutya Purushena cha. Mataji's Anurbhruha krusha sthulo yo bhava prasidhyati prakrutya cha. Anurbhruha krusha sthulo yo bhava prasidhyati Sarvopi prayasayukta prakrutya purushena cha. Anuhu, small, brihad, great, krisha, thin, sthula, stout, yaha yaha, whatever, bhavaha, manifestation, prasidhyati, is established, sarva, all, api, indeed, ubhaya, by both, samyukta, conjoined, prakrutya, by nature, purushena, by the enjoying spirit soul, cha, and translation. Whatever features visibly exist within this world, small or great, thin or stout, certainly contain both the material nature and its enjoyer, the spirit soul. This shloka doesn't have a purpose, so we will just recite the 17th verse, the next verse.
Yastivasyadinartasya savai madhyam chatasya san vikaro vyavaraharartho yatha tejas parthiva.
Translation. Gold and earth are originally existing as ingredients. From gold one may fashion golden ornaments such as bracelets and earrings, and from earth one may fashion clay pots and saucers. The original ingredients, gold and earth, exist before the products made from them. And when the products are eventually destroyed, the original ingredients, gold and earth, will remain. Thus, since the ingredients are present in the beginning and at the end, they must also be present in the middle phase, taking the form of a particular product to which we assign, for convenience, a particular name, such as bracelet, earring, pot or saucer. We can therefore understand that since the ingredient cause exists before the creation of a product and after the product's destruction, the same ingredient cause must be present during the manifest phase, supporting the product as the basis of its reality. Purported by disciples of His Divine Grace, S.A. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord here explains that the original cause is certainly present in its effect, citing the example of gold and clay functioning as the causal ingredients of many different products in which gold and clay continue to be present. For our convenience, we assign different names to temporary products, although their essential nature continues to be that of the ingredient and not of the temporary product.
Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Amano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavasya Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Ragunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishthakan Vitasya Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyasha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Rundavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktarunda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So welcome all for the Srimad Bhagavatam class. I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees so that I can pray. So please pray that I can speak something which is of some value. So in this shloka and the purport, there is a description how there are different ingredients are there. The mention about gold, clay pot, and how this clay pot or golden ornaments are made, and the original ingredients which are there, which exist before these products are there, and after the products are also there. So here the main theme of this particular shloka or the purport is mainly how the soul is there and the super soul is there, and the body keeps changing, the externals may keep changing, but the original, the soul, that remains the same, and the nature of that soul. So that is the primary theme which we can see here. So we'll try to go a little deeper on this subject matter and see what we can discuss today. So in Bhagavad Gita also, like Krishna is convincing Arjuna, because Arjuna is on the battlefield and he is thinking that how we can kill his own brothers and relatives and even the gurus also. And Krishna is telling, giving him the insights that how they are just the soul and the body is there external. So he is talking about Dehi nosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara and all those things. He is talking about this. And we need to understand that there is a cause. There is some cause behind everything which is happening around us in this world. So one story which comes to mind and which all of us might have heard earlier also is about Sir Isaac Newton. So he had created this planetary system as a mechanism, as a model he had created. And after creating this, one of his friend, he came to see him in his lab, and he saw that, oh, this is so wonderful, you have created such a nice thing. And he said, no, I didn't create this. I mean, just overnight I had kept these things here and it all just manifested, and see how it is moving nicely. So this friend started laughing. How is this possible? It is all your efforts. Like many times we also do this, like when we do something and the devotees come and appreciate, oh, you have done such a wonderful service. And he said, no, it is all Krishna's mercy and devotees' mercy, and that's how we are. But Isaac Newton probably did not know this lingo. And he said, no, I didn't do it. So he said, no, you must have done, somebody must have done it. So then he taught the lesson to this person. He said that when such a small thing I am trying to create, and then you feel that, okay, there is a cause behind this, that I have done this. The whole planetary system is moving. The sun, earth, moon, and so many planets, they are moving in orbit and all things are happening. And we are not willing to accept that there is a cause behind all these things. We feel that it has all come automatically without any efforts of anyone. So that is the point which he was trying to drive. So here we will just try to see that how we see the things externally in our life. Many things we just see, whatever we can observe, we say that, okay, this is what it is, without trying to go deeper inside it, trying to see the inside, what is internal. So just the externals are not going to help us. So going to the internals, going to the substance of the things, that is, so we'll discuss some things on this particular point. So we see that there are many, many layers. The flowers, the rose petal, rose flower, if you see that it has so many petals, and these all petals are in different layers. And when we see a flower, when we are before, after offering the Lord, or when we are supposed to offer, we see that this beautiful flower is there. And we are so happy by the touch of this petal, happy by the smell which we take of this flower. But do we really see inside what is there inside it is? When a honeybee, when it looks at it, it doesn't look at it only from the external petals and the smell of the petals. It goes right inside to get the nectar from the pollens. It takes from there. So that is how the importance of seeing the internals is important. We see that so many successful people in this world. Like many times, If you walk into a student or young people and you see that a lot of posters are kept, they are their idols. They want to follow them. They may be superstar, cricket star or film star. And they want to be like them. And they try to wear clothes like them. They try to have their hairstyles like them. And they really want to be like them, because they have seen their fame, how they deal with people, how much money they have. Sometimes they may not have money, but they are so famous also. But to be like that person is not that so easy. We may have aspiration, but behind all these external things which we see, there are a lot of efforts. All these people, they have their dreams. They have lived, they have tried to live up to their dreams. They have their vision and they have their hard work to reach the point where they are today. It's not easy. It's a real hard work. If we go inside their life, sometimes these people write their autobiography and then we realize that such a hard struggle it was for them. And that's why they are here today as what they are. So, we also really need to see, fortunately we don't have such aspirations, but we have aspirations of the sadhus, the acharyas. We see them, that how they are living, they have lived their life. And we feel inspired. Sometimes we get inspired by people, devotees who are around us, our spiritual master, or sometimes Srila Prabhupada also. And we may externally try to imitate these personalities. We may laugh like them, we may wear clothes like them, we may speak like them, we may recite Jai Radha Madhav like them. But are we really taking the mood of these personalities? What is their vision? What they want us to do? That is the most important aspect which we miss. So we cannot imitate them, but we can work hard on the vision which they have given. So there is another aspect of judging. When we are looking at the externals, many times we judge personalities, just people around us. And this tendency of judging anyone is very, very risky and detrimental for our life. So we can see from, there are various pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is a mention of the famous pastime of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And when Mukunda Dat, he took Gadadhar Pandit to see this great personality, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He said that he is a great Vaishnava, and Gadadhar Pandit was so eager to see this great personality. And he went there, he was expecting a Vaishnava. And whenever we say Vaishnava, a devotee of Lord, we have a certain image in front of us. He should look like this, that is our image. And when he saw, when Gadadhar Pandit went and he saw that Pundarik Vidyanidhi is just looking like any other common person, not just the common person, but very high class personality, you know, nicely dressed, with nice hair parted nicely and eating all exorbitant things. So immediately he thought that he cannot be a Vaishnava, he cannot be a devotee. And he started thinking like this. But then Mukunda Dat, he realized, now that this is the greatness of a devotees and the importance of the association of devotees. They actually understand what we are going through. And Mukunda Dat immediately started reciting shlokas from Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying Lord Krishna. And as he started this, immediately Pundarik Vidyanidhi started exhibiting the beautiful, wonderful, ecstatic symptoms, calling out the name of Krishna. Now this is, when Gadadhar Pandit realized this, that he is not an ordinary person and I judged him, then he started repenting. So this is This is the antidote that of repenting. And he just did not said, oh, I'm so sorry, I felt, I know, I should not have thought like this. He actually just not repented, but he actually took action. He said that I want to be the disciple of him. And Gadadhar Pandit actually took initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Of course, Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Gadadhar Pandit, they are Rushabhanu Prabhu and Srimati Radharani in the pastime of Krishna, Krishna Leela. So this tendency of judging others is so very dangerous. So I came across a very nice quote by His Holiness Radhanath Swami. So I just read, I really like this. And all of us can probably meditate on this particular quote. So he says that we have the tendency to judge others by their surface appearance and to find only their negative qualities. But if we search beneath the surface, we discover that a myriad of strains mix together to create a particular person's nature. The faults we perceive are likely to be the effect of circumstances, the psychological response to trauma, abuse, rejection, heartbreak, insecurity, pain, confusion, or disease. So many things. So there is a tendency for us to think that, okay, you know, why this person is behaving like this? And we immediately judge. Sometimes by just looking at the person, we start thinking that, okay, you know, this person looks like a gentleman. So judging is sometimes positive and negative both. So recently I was interacting with a police officer and he was telling me that you know, we really don't know who is a thief by seeing at the face. You know, ordinary person cannot realize whether he is a thief or no. But we have that skill, the sixth sense, to actually understand it. So in one sense it is a judgment. But I'm just saying that many times we judge people just by the externals. And in his book, His Holiness Radhanath Swami's book, Journey Within, he mentioned about the story of Dorothy and how this lady at the airport, she's shouting on top of her voice at the aircraft crew and telling them that, you know, it's how important it is to get on the flight. And everybody was kind of irritated. And we see this happening whenever we are traveling. Some people, they are highly irritated and they behave in a particular way. And we think that, you know, kitna immature hai, how can't they, these are not the etiquettes when you are amongst so many people. But we don't realize what is the beneath, what is there beneath them. And then when Maharaj listened to her, what she was going through, and Maharaj pacified her. When he listened, when she spoke so much, then she was kind of quietened. We'll not go into details, but it's a wonderful story. A lot of lessons to learn from this episode of Dorothy also. So I just came across one nice poem and which I'd like to read out. This is a poem which is written by a person. I don't know who is, but it just came as a message by a person who met at the reunion. Many times as alumni we meet the college, our friends, colleagues, we meet together and we see our different personalities together. So it's all about that. So it goes like this. The heartthrob of the school is a man grim and somber. The lanky little girl is now a weightlifter. The topper of the class is a happy homemaker. Backbencher of the lot is an entrepreneur. The flamboyant fashionista became a dreaded lawyer. Often ignored average Joe turned a well-known writer. The one who failed math paper is a fashion designer. And one who often got to stand outside the class is a respected army officer. The reunion taught me how people come with many layers and told me why we should never judge a book by its cover. So such a simple thing which we always see in our life. There's so many people we have judged So many people we are judging today also. And how it is just a superficial thing. And we never know. I think it is always... I don't remember, but somebody just spoke that we don't know who is the person sitting next to us. We really don't know. He may be a great soul and he's just sitting next to us, and we may just sit and talk casually with that person. So that's the thing which we really have to understand. Like in Prabhupada, once he was there and he was giving class, and there's a person who came, was the story of a crazy Peter. People didn't know, and he was like shabbily dressed and he was kind of on drugs. Nobody would entertain such person in the temple hall, especially coming and sitting. But Prabhupada encouraged him also. And over a period of time, he purified himself and became a translator. He translated so many shlokas from Sanskrit to English. He helped Prabhupada in translating books. So there are so many personalities, devotees, whom we feel that sometimes, what are they doing? They are not doing any service. And how they can be utilized in any service? They are useless. That's what our thinking may become. But it's not the fact. I remember there is one devotee, and he was kind of connected with political parties, and this was few years back. Nowadays devotees being connected with political party and understanding is very open, and we openly talk about it. But few years back it was not like that, and we are just kind of wondering. He was such a wonderful, he's a wonderful devotee, but he was not a typical devotee who will always wear tilak, or you know, the typical Vaishnava may not be there, but he had wonderful qualities. And if you recollect few years back when Shamsundar Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, and he organized Prabhupada festival at Cross Maidan. And everybody was thinking how this can be made as a big event, how it can be, publicity, how we can increase the publicity. And this devotee, he came out with an amazing idea. He said that we should put hoardings, big hoardings of Srila Prabhupada all across Mumbai. And then devotee said, how this can be done? It should be done. It's a good idea, but how this can be done? So we being connected with the political parties, and you know all that how political people, how they make big banners and put their hoardings. There's a competition on that. So he got that thing arranged. And he made a plan, and I was there with him, and he said that, okay, that we cannot put these hoardings in the daylight. We have to start our service after 11 o'clock at night. And so I said, okay, I will do this. This was quite some year back, around almost more than 10 years back. And we got into the truck. So this is like a unique experience. We put all the hoardings in the truck and we started moving. So one place he got down, he had his people, so they got down, and that one place, okay, yahan pe lagate hain. So then he started putting all the hoardings at one place. Then obviously when you start doing this, there are police who are moving around, they start coming, they start asking. So now a person like me probably would have not able to answer anything to these people. But he was very fluent. He was like, okay, okay, he just spoke something and then they just went off. And like that, we went across Mumbai. So till morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, we are doing this. So this was like some area we could cover. So next day, again, he said, now again we'll go. And again we went. Now 2 days, you know, staying awake like this and putting such hoardings was impossible. So third day I said, I can't. But he carried on. And he put all these hoardings. Of course, some hoardings were removed, but at least for some time, Prabhupada's visibility was given. Now, imagine, if somebody else may say that, okay, you know, what is this person? But now Prabhupada, if you look at it from Prabhupada's angle, eyes, he will be so pleased with this person by his service. So many times we do this, but we should try and avoid judging. So this is one aspect of that. Rather than just being on the externals, try to go internal. So Srila Prabhupada also did this. You know, in Bhagavad Gita 5.8, we see the shloka of Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastini Sunichaiva Sapakaicha Pandita Samadarshina. So Prabhupada was really at that stage, was seeing people with this, because the hippies or the people who were at the time in the West, they were living the same similar kind of life. And today also, today in India, of course, it is the same thing. There is no difference. But Prabhupada never judged these people. He could have, the kind of lifestyle, the kind of personality he was, the purity with which he was carrying, he would have said, I don't want to stay with such people. But he never judged them. He just accepted them as they were, and transformed them from what they were to the happies. So that's why it said, from hippies they became happies. It was pure transformation of these personalities. So he was seeing not just the external body, but he was seeing their soul, he was seeing the super souls which was residing inside them, and that is how he was treating them. Of course, we are not at that platform, but at least we have, conceptually we have understood that this knowledge is there. So another thing which we should look at is that how we can go deeper rather than staying on the external, how we can go deeper. Because the more deeper we go, the more safer we are and more blissful we are. So again, from a story from Journey Home, where His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj speaks about this riverbed, and there are fish which are swimming inside it, and he is sitting on the bank and he is observing that how a hawk, a seabird, is floating in the sky, and from top he is actually seeing which are the fishes which are there, and he dives deep. It's a long story. Maharaj spoke for almost more than 1 hour on this and many lessons, but he just dived deep to capture this fish. Now how this fish he was able to capture, because this fish, they were not at the bottom of the river, they were just floating on the surface. And when they were floating on the surface, they were easy prey, easily accessible. So similarly, if we are not deep into Krishna consciousness, today is Christmas, and Jesus Christ said, don't be lukewarm, either be cold or be hot. So we need to be hot in Krishna consciousness. So much engrossed, so much deep into it, that Maya's claws cannot touch us. So that is the deepness which we should have. In the wartime, there are bunkers which are made. Why the bunkers are made? Because in bunkers, everyone goes inside these bunkers and they stay inside. So even though there is a bomb attack, there is no damage. The external buildings or the houses can get damaged, but people inside these bunkers will not. So Prabhupada created so many bunkers for us. So many temples are like these bunkers. So we come here, we take association of devotees, and when we are doing this, then we are safe. Another aspect of this is also how we can look at the principles and not the details. Because when we look at the details, many times we may sometimes feel that there is a tendency to become fanatic. Sometimes people come and there are etiquettes which we follow, and there sometimes people are not able to follow certain etiquettes. So those are details, but the principle is the humility. Somebody bends down, somebody is not in a position to pay obeisances, but there is a humble heart in which they are standing but offering obeisances. So there are various principles which are so important. The details may vary as per the time, place and circumstances. But we should not change the principles. And Prabhupada did this. Prabhupada engaged all the disciples, his disciples, devotees, general people in the service of the Lord. And he may change certain details that, okay, as per Gaudiya Vaishnava, they were supposed to be chanting 64 rounds. He actually compromised, made it to 16 rounds so that that all of us could get accommodated. Of course, now we still struggle with those 16 rounds. Sometimes we still feel that, oh, thoda kam ho sakta hai kya? Can somebody else, can any other acharya come and say that, okay, 16 ka thoda das tak karo. We may think like that, but Prabhupada did this. So, one nice story, incident which I came across of Srila Prabhupada's life. So, this was in South Africa. Srila Prabhupada was in South Africa. And the fifth canto was released. And the BBT devotees, they sent this fifth canto for the review to Srila Prabhupada. And when these books came, Srila Prabhupada it was written by him only, but still he was observing, reading it, going through these books and releasing that experience. And there is one devotee of South Africa, and he was trying to capture this mood of Srila Prabhupada. He was clicking photographs of Srila Prabhupada, right? And when Prabhupada saw that this person, this devotee is taking so many photographs, he got upset and he chastised like him, anything. And we have not experienced how Prabhupada chastised, but we have experienced through his disciples and so many writings. And he was very heavy. He said that, why are you clicking photographs? Is this so important to take photographs? And with that chastisement, this devotee got so afraid and he just left the temple and went from there. And the day went by and there was a program, devotees went for the program. And they somehow didn't find this devotee, where he has vanished. And then Prabhupada asked, where is this devotee? So they said, we don't know. So Prabhupada said, go and find him. Where is he? But they were not able to find. And at late night, this devotee, he realized kind of mistake which he has done by putting all other devotees in so much of anxiety. Sometimes this happens. Now we do a mistake and we don't want to face our authorities. So we just hide ourselves. So somehow Krishna's mercy, whatever, he realized his mistake and he called the devotees and said that, I am at so and so place. Can you please come and pick me up? And all these devotees went, picked him up, brought him in front of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada asked him, he was a different person, Srila Prabhupada there. And very, like a father, he asked, where were you? Why did you go away? And he said that, Prabhupada, I felt that I committed a big offense by clicking these photographs to you. Prabhupada said, no, you have not committed an offense. But he said that the principle is these books. This is the legacy which I want to leave for all of you. So take that. Go deep into those books rather than just taking the photographs. So Prabhupada wanted to give this mood. He was trying to teach this mood to this disciple and all of us. It's not just for him. It's not for the people who are present at that point. These pastimes are actually teaching us. And Prabhupada was very clear on these principles, that how these books are important. But at the same time, he was also understanding the nature of this person and the emotions of this person. So he was dealing with them on that level also, being so merciful. So, in this verse, we are also talking about the soul and the super soul. And so understanding the self-realization is another aspect which I would like to just touch up. Because self-realization means understanding who we are and what is our connection with the Lord. And many times we have different conceptions of self-realization, who we are. And Prabhupada many times mentions that what is the true nature? The true nature is Jivera Swarupai, Krishna Nitya Das. We are the eternal servant of the Lord. That is our true nature. But understanding this nature at various levels, there are different dimensions, which is very, very important thing which we should realize. Many times in the past, His Grace Brajbihari Prabhu has mentioned in his classes also, and many of his articles, he has spoken about Panchakosh, how there are different koshas, you know, and we are to understand ourselves at different levels. There is a level of Annamaya Kosh, then Pranamaya Kosh, Manomaya Kosh, Vijnanamaya Kosh, and the last one is Anandamaya Kosh. Yes, thank you. So these are five levels. Whereas Annamaya is on the food level, very, very gross. Pranamaya is on the life air, little subtle. Manomaya is our emotions, feelings, which is little more deeper. And the closest to the soul, of course, Vijnanamaya Kosh, which is about knowledge. And the closest to this is Anandamaya Kosh. So we sometimes, as a devotees, understand only one aspect, that we are the soul and we are not the body. So, we at one end there is inside the subtlest is soul and another is the body. What about in between? We don't have connection to those koshas or those self-awareness at that level. That is not there. But of course, understanding these levels is a deeper subject matter. But at least to understand soul, that who we are, what are the qualifications we need to have to become a self-realized person. Now, again, there is a small story which I would like to talk about. This His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj speaks about it, writes about it in Journey Within. And we have heard this in many of his classes also. There is a story of a disciple of Parashara Bhatta. And this disciple, he inquires from Parashara Bhatta that what is the qualification to become self-realized? Now this is a question when he asks, he says that you go to my friend, is Ananta, his name is Ananta, go to him and he will teach. So I will just cut this story short, but the important aspect lessons from. So he sends him to Ananta and he travels all the way, this long distance from Srirangam. From Srirangam he travels to Tirupati. He travels all the way for many days, weeks actually, through jungle and all those things. And he goes there, and after going there, it is not that he gets all these answers immediately. It's not like he searched on Google and said, okay, self-realization, and then there are 10 things coming out on the Google saying that, okay, self-realization, this concept, that concept, that concept. No, it's not like that. It was not Veda-based or Gita-based where we search. It's not like that. So when he went there and he served under Ananta, under his guidance, for 6 months, did menial services, and then when Ananta asked, so you want to know? You had some questions? So then he asked, yeah, I wanted to know what are the qualifications to become a self-realized person. And then he says that a very mystic, very cryptic answer he gives, that you can to become a self-realized person, you have to have the qualities of a crane or chicken. Start with salt, chicken, crane, and be like you. So this is a cryptic answer which he gives, and he says that now you may leave. Now imagine that you go all the way for traveling so much of hard work, do menial services, stay for so long, and then you get such an answer for such a deep question. And being a humble devotee, he comes back to his spiritual master, comes back to Parashara Bhatta, and asks him that, you know, he gave me this answer. So can you please explain what do I understand from this? And then he starts explaining. And Maharaj in his book writes so many lessons which we can learn from each of this aspect. So he talks about the salt.
So he said that salt is like, it teaches us to have a right balance in our life, and especially in the complicated situations or issues, how we should deal in these situations, complicated issues. We have to be really balanced. Because when difficult situation comes, either we become so hyper that we spoil the whole thing, or we become so weak and we say that let it be, and I'll not act anything upon this. So this completely imbalanced. Not to take any extreme stance on any issues. Salt also teaches us that to remain hidden, because whenever the salt is put into any preparation, any sabji which is made, nobody glorifies the salt. People may talk about, oh, this paneer tikka was so nice, or this sabji was so nice, but nobody glorifies the salt. So it remains hidden. It doesn't look for any glorification for himself or itself. And it melts with, the salt is never put it as a topping on any preparation. It melts inside. So we have to be in such a situation that we may influence so many people's lives, you know, but we still remain hidden. That is the nature of the salt. So basically, amanina manadena kirtaniya sara sadhari. That is how it is. The salt is teaching us that humility. The chicken, it says that normally the chicken, when it is searching for the grains, the food in the sand, the chicken is able to pick up the right grains, doesn't pick up any sand grains. So seeing the good in others, that is what the chicken is teaching us. It is teaching us to focus on the essence of true goals. Many times, you know, we may get so absorbed in the details that we may forget that what is the essence. When we are practicing Krishna consciousness also, we may forget the essence and just look at the external practice and rituals. So getting into the essence, it is what is teaching us. And leave the distractions, leave the sands, leave the other things which are not required for our progress. The crane is teaching us patience, because the crane is standing on one leg in the water body and looking for the right size fish, the big fishes. It's not looking for the small fishes which are floating around. We may see in the videos also many times, the whale fish which is moving, there are so many small fishes which are moving. So whale doesn't eat those small fishes. It looks for a bigger thing. So of course, we are not looking for a big fish here, but our big fish is that what is the essence, what we are getting out of the devotional service, how we can serve, that is the biggest thing, how we can serve Krishna. So focus on big and going deeper is what is being taught by Crane. And the last thing which he talks about, the you, he said that one has to be like you. You means this devotee himself, disciple of Parashar Bhatta. Because he had the quality of endurance. Endurance means he was enduring to take any kind of troubles when he was going through all these things. He had patience. He waited for so many months to get this one answer. And he served selflessly with enthusiasm. Utsahat nishyad dharyant. All three things he was practicing with humility. So these are the qualities which are required for to become self-realized. And to understand God, we need to have this, we need to have knowledge, we need to have these qualities, wonderful qualities, and we need to have mercy. Because all three things are very important. We cannot just say that, okay, we can focus on one and we just acquire knowledge and we'll understand the Lord. It's not possible. If that was the thing, then Hiranyakashipu, who was counseling his brother's wives and children, Hiranyaksha was killed and he was counseling them
with pure philosophy, he had all the knowledge to tell what it is, what is the soul. He had perfect knowledge of this. But did he have the values? Did he have those qualities of humility? The enthusiasm to serve, to accept the Lord? Those were missing. Sometimes we may have, we see people, they have qualities, wonderful qualities, but they lack knowledge. We see, like last Thursday, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj spoke very nicely on Bharat Maharaj, and he spoke that all these are wonderful qualities, only thing which was missing was Krishna. But that only thing is a big thing. The biggest missing link was Krishna. And he forgot. Maharaj was mentioning, if he had kept Krishna in the center and still served and taken care of the deer, then it would have been a perfect devotional service. So, to realize this, you know, we need to have both knowledge and the qualities. We need to endeavor to develop these wonderful qualities. And the third and the most important thing is the mercy aspect. Without the mercy of the Lord, without our endeavor to have that mercy, we see the example from Jagai and Madai. They did not have this knowledge, they did not have these qualities. They were just the causeless mercy case. They received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is the great hope for us also, that we have that opportunity that we may also get that causeless mercy. We may put all our efforts to have knowledge, try to develop those qualities, but somewhere Krishna will feel merciful. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will feel merciful and give us that mercy through the acharyas. That is our hope. Now this is not the only thing. Many times the tendency is that we may just say that, okay, let me just hope for the mercy and let me not develop the knowledge. Let me not try to develop the... That's a pitfall which may fall into. So all these three things of knowledge, virtues and mercy are so important for us to know that how we can realize God. And this is possible only through the purpose of Srila Prabhupada. Because many times if you read Srimad Bhagavatam and we just read the translations, and we like especially the fourth canto, many other cantos, and there are some esoteric description which will come, and it's that, okay, these are nice stories or some nice description by any other novel. But it's not like that. The Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, is through his purpose is giving us the deep meaning behind each shloka, behind each verse which is there. So we need to dive deep into this shloka. Like now is the time for book marathon. We are on the 25th already. And we need to dive deep and swim longer. What do we mean by dive deep? Dive deep means go deeper in the books of Srila Prabhupada. And swim longer is go and distribute these books. Whatever knowledge Srila Prabhupada is giving, understand that and then distribute with others. So these are like now 5 days which are there for us, 5-6 days. So in Kartik we follow Bhishma Panchak, and today is Christmas, so we can kind of start following Christmas Panchak and distribute our Prabhupada's book. There is still time. Baldev Prabhu mentioned that at least distribute minimum 5 books. So we can distribute minimum 5 books in these few days. Each person can do this. And that's our contribution to Srila Prabhupada. That's our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, which we can see this. So we need to understand that how our nature is, and acharyas are helping us to nurture our nature through our journey, you know, from a conditioned soul to a purified soul, which is a presentation, a good, wonderful presentation to Krishna. That's how we can please and understand who is the real cause. Because we may see the fruit from outside, which may be very sweet, but the seeds are the cause of that fruit.
The sweetness is coming from those seeds. So we really need to see that what is the cause. We may see, like in so many dramas or movies, people who are glorified are the actors and actresses. They have acted so well. But behind those performance, that performance, there is a director and there is a producer who are doing so many things at the background because of which they are able to do. So we need to understand this. So this knowledge at least we should have. Many years back when I came, at first time I didn't have any knowledge about this. First time I came to this temple, and after the Sunday feast, it was announced that Sankirtan Prabhu and his team, they'll meet the people who are coming for the first time. Rishabhanu Prabhu was doing the announcement. And I was blank when I met these devotees. They said, "You have any question?" I said, "I don't have any question. I don't know anything." And many people, they were asking, "What is about Atma and all?" And so I said, I was thinking, I should also pose some question. I shouldn't be sounding so foolish. But I didn't know what to ask. I know Atma means in only one Bhatakti Atma. That's the only thing which I knew. And I was really a Bhatakti Atma. Somehow, the mercy of the Lord and all of you, I'm here today. So, that is how we are today. And so these wonderful things are there. There are seven wonders which are spoken. People talk about seven wonders in this world. We need to see the most wonderful Krishna beyond that, who is the cause of all these causes. That's the only thing which we need to realize. So I'll end here. I have spoken beyond my realizations, but thank you for your patience and tolerance. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.